Thank you for listening to this message. As you take time, wherever you are, to soak in this teaching of Scripture, we at Encounter Church hope that it leads you to have a real and meaningful encounter with God, because we believe that people need an encounter with God more than anything else. Enjoy.
A couple months ago, we did another series with the three of us, so me, Kristen, and Greg speaking, and it was kind of the foundation of Encounter Church, right? Like, what are we doing? Why are we doing it? And because it's a little bit different, and if you haven't heard anything of Encounter Church, things look a little bit different here on a Sunday because we are prioritizing that encounter with God, and we are prioritizing the people on a Sunday morning, being able to tangibly, like, work through the scriptures that we're presenting to you. And so we did this kind of like foundational series, just explaining the priorities, the principles, the preferences of Encounter Church and what it's going to look like. And so if you weren't here for that, it's on our website. You can go through the QR code, and I highly recommend listening to that because it gives you a lot of good information about Encounter Church and what it's going to kind of look like on a weekly basis here. But when I was speaking, we looked at Acts 2. We looked at the church in Acts 2 because we kind of have a lot of detail about what the Acts 2 church looked like, what the church looked like in that time. And it says in Acts that when the church was acting this way, the Lord added to their numbers every day. And that's ultimately what we want also, is that the Lord was adding to the numbers of people that were being saved every day. And that's what we want. We want people to be saved. We believe that people need an encounter with God. And when they receive that encounter with God, like, they're more likely to be saved and understand and accept Jesus as their Savior. And so that's what we want. And so we were looking at what the church was doing when we first looked through Acts 2. Today we're going to breeze through it. And we're going to focus more on not the what they were doing, but the how they were doing it. So I'm going to read quickly through and then point out a couple things to you. So in Acts 2, it says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the sharing of meals and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over all of them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place. There we go. And shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So that's the point that I was making earlier, like, the Lord was adding to the numbers when they were doing these things. Now, what I want you to notice with these verses is that they were doing all of these things, and after each of these actions that they were talking about is the word together, right? They met together, they worshiped together at the temple, they met in their homes, they shared a meal. All of these things indicating that this is a group of believers that were spending time in the same space together. They were doing these things together in the same space, literally next to each other. And so that's where we're going to land tonight, is why is that important? What difference does it make if we're in the same space? How does it impact my relationship with God? How does it impact your relationship with God? And we're just going to look at why it's important. But before we get to that, we're going to do something that you've probably have never done in church before. At Encounter, we like to do things, we like to take kind of like a break in the service, not always in the middle like this, but it's just a time where you can have a chance to interact with what's being talked about. So you can do something like hands-on, you can do, maybe you're like having time to process something or write something down. It's always a little bit different, but it's always a chance for you to process and interact with what's being talked about here. So today is a big ask for you guys, but I'm excited. We are, in just a moment, I'm going to have you guys get into groups of like no less than 8, and we're going to do the human knot. So if you haven't heard it, that's okay. I'm going to explain what you're going to be doing. But if you're willing, we're going to get into groups of 8 to 10, and we're going to kind of need some space. So we're going to have like a group, maybe 2 or 3 groups in that back like space between the 2 sections of the pews. And then one group can come up here. There's plenty of space up here also. But get in groups of 8 to 12-ish, and then I'll give the directions for once we're all kind of organized, if you're willing. Okay? Quickly, we have, we talk, and then we do a hands-on thing, and so you know, like, what it means when you're doing it. But I'm a teacher, and I like to mix things up a little bit in my classroom, so that's what I was doing today. I'm mixing it up a little bit. You will understand why that was significant, but not yet. We're going to get there. You might have some clues, which is great. Today, we are going to be working through a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Rome. Not the whole thing, it's massive. But he packed so much into this letter, and across the whole thing, there's a common theme that's pretty simple, and it's just straight like the gospel. It's so good. There's so much packed into it. And he writes so much about the power of the gospel, that it has the ability to completely transform lives. And if you have accepted Jesus, that Jesus died on your behalf, that he took the punishment of your sins, and that he's given you a gift of eternal life, then you know what I'm talking about. You know the transformation that can happen when you grasp and understand and accept the gospel for what it is. Jesus' work on the cross was complete, and other than believing and accepting that, there's nothing that we have to do to receive that eternal life. However, receiving the Holy Spirit, accepting Jesus as your Savior, accepting the work that he did on the cross, that's not like the end of your journey, right? Like, you receive the Holy Spirit, and there's a continual, ongoing working that God does in you. And this process of God sanctifying us and working on our souls, he makes us more and more like him as we go throughout our lives. Paul makes it clear that this transformation that happens through the gospel, through the Holy Spirit, it is God's work, it's the Holy Spirit's working in us, but it doesn't excuse us from any responsibility to live out a life that's honoring to Christ. And so that's what we're going to really look at today. So we're in Romans 12, Romans 12:1, Paul says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God," which means like in light of all that he has done for us, "to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." There's just one verse, and there's so much packed into this, but this is our part, right? He says, in light of all that God's done to us, we are going to present our bodies as a living sacrifice that's holy and acceptable to God. And if you think about presenting your body, if you think about like a wedding, like a bride is like presented to her groom, or if you think about presenting yourself to royalty, like I think that's what I like skip to when I hear like present yourself. I skip to like presenting yourself to a king, but that doesn't actually happen in our lives, so it's not actually like connecting to me. But if you think about if you were asked to present yourself to like the president of the United States, like that's a big deal. It's like important. And so you wouldn't just like roll out of bed in the morning and drive to the White House and show up and like present yourself in that manner, right? You would take some time to prepare yourself, to present yourself to God. Like you would take some time to like physically be ready to go, but then also like mentally and emotionally and like just prepare yourself. Like what is he gonna ask of me? Like what are we gonna talk about? How am I gonna respond to him? Like you'd be thinking through these things before you actually presented yourself to the president or to royalty, or if a bride is preparing to present herself to her husband, like there's effort that comes that goes into the process before you actually present yourself. Now, presenting your body, that right away indicates that you are with somebody, right? If you're present, you're presenting yourself, you are with somebody. And in this instance, Paul is saying we're presenting ourselves as living sacrifices, and this is that encounter with God. Like, we're presenting ourselves, and we are making ourselves physically available to the work that God has for us. So that there's that like connection, that encounter that God is inviting us to be a part of. But it is our responsibility to actually do that. And so, if we are presenting ourselves to God, right, how much more important is he than like kings and queens on earth or the president of the United States or even like the husband on a wedding day? Like there, he is the one that has created all things. He's sustaining all things, and he is the one that is due all of our honor and glory. So if we're thinking about presenting ourselves to God, we need to be taking some time to make sure that we are physically and mentally and emotionally and spiritually ready to present ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. And Paul is stating this as a daily occurrence, right? This isn't just like a one-time thing. This is in response to what God has done for us. We daily get up and present ourselves, our physical bodies, as a living sacrifice. So we are saying that we are available for the work that God has for us. So we prepare our bodies and our minds and our hearts, and we say that we're ready to present ourselves as living sacrifices, so we are ready for the Holy Spirit to guide us. We're ready for him to prompt us towards completing the work that God has for us. And I think that this is, it's just so crucial to how we live out our lives as Christians here, right? God has work for us, and he has work that he wants accomplished, and he's inviting us to meet with him. He's inviting us to present ourselves to be available for this work and to like partner with him in the work that he has. And it's so significant that we even have the ability to do that, to meet with him and to encounter him. And I think we miss something when we don't take the time to be fully available for that, for what he's asking of us, for the prompting that he's giving us. And really, I mean, the end there, you see, like, this is our spiritual worship. Like, this is how we truly worship and give God what he wants in return for what he's already done for us. Like, he's just asking us to meet with him and to be available for what he's asking us to do. And so if we are presenting our bodies as living sacrifices, we're giving God what he wants. We're giving him ourselves available to do that work for him. And so I believe that in order to experience the fullness of what God has to offer, right? In order to experience all that he has available that he wants to give us, I think that that doesn't just happen by accident. I think that that's going to require, and as we see here, it requires action on our parts. It requires a decision on our part to physically present ourselves and be physically available for the work that he has for us. So, why? How does this connect, right? Like, why does this matter? A little bit later in the same chapter, a few verses later, we see how this impacts the community of believers. This idea of us individually preparing and presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice, how does it impact us as a community? So he was writing to a community of believers. He was writing to the church in Rome. He was writing to people that were meeting together, listening to the teachings together, sharing meals together, worshiping together. These were people that were doing what we're doing currently. And so he is writing to a community of believers. And in Romans 12, verse 5, he says, "So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." So here we see him compare this, like, this group of believers, this body of believers, as a body, one body in Christ. And there's a lot of different parts of the body. They don't all have the same function. And I think if you've spent any amount of time in church, you've heard this reference. You've heard people talk about the body of the church having all these different members, and they talk about how, like, everyone's been created uniquely, and you all have your, like, part that you fit into and how to carry out the work that God has for us. And that's, like, easy to understand. That's, you know, that's good. It makes sense. And if you think about your body, it makes sense, right? We have all these different parts that make up our body, and each part has a specific job that it does to make sure that we are carrying out what, like, our body's function is, like, our daily lives. If you think about, like, your eyes help you see where you're going, and your back is what, like, holds you upright, and your feet allow you to walk where you need to go. And I think that when churches focus on that piece of it, it's so good, it's true, But I think that it doesn't, or it removes some of the accountability from us. I think it doesn't communicate fully the responsibility that this concept gives us as a part of the body. And what I think is often missed is the fact that if you're thinking about your actual body, there's no part of your body that just gets to decide it doesn't need to show up that day, right? It doesn't, it's just like, doesn't get to just skate by and decide, like, I'm just not gonna do what God designed me to do today. Like, your body, if it does, you notice, right? Like, that impacts your day. If you, like, I had a headache earlier and I popped some Advil because I was like, I am not going to be able to get through this night if with my head, like, pounding like this. Like, my head was not functioning correctly, and it affected me, all of me. If your eyes, all of a sudden you woke up one morning and your eyes are like, nope, we're not going to do our job today, and you just couldn't see, that would impact, that would affect how, like, the work that you did that day, right? And if you're, like, my husband, like, hurt his back almost a year ago, and he could not even, like, get dressed. Like, he was, like, in so much pain, he couldn't, like, bend over to put on shorts. It was horrible. And it's like that for, like, a week. And so if your back is in that much pain, it was not functioning the way it's supposed to, it impacts the work that you do that day. It impacts, like, how you're going to live your life. And the same concept applies to our community here at Encounter Church and as a part of the church, like the global church. Like, there's this weird, Paul's like hinting towards this, like, weird, like, almost inexplicable connection that we have with believers globally, but then also in our local church. If you are a part of that body, if you're a part of the body of Christ, a community of believers, you matter. Like, you have significance, and you impact the work that the Spirit does through that community of believers. I believe that all members have a responsibility to show up and to do their part. I don't think that any member can just decide to skate by and decide to not participate, unwilling to do things, without affecting the rest of the body. Just like my headache, or if you woke up and you didn't have sight one day, your eyes decided they weren't going to work, that's not going to just happen without affecting the function of the rest of the body. When you show up not ready to be used by God, when you show up like in a church service or into a community of believers, when you show up and you are not ready to be used by God, unwilling to participate in what the Spirit has for that body to do, I think it's a missed opportunity. And it's not just a missed opportunity for you as an individual. I believe that it affects the entire body of believers that is meeting together. It's like when you were participating in this humanat up here, everyone had to participate. Everyone had to. Like, you could not get out of that knot without participating in some way, without like moving or communicating. And the person that was blindfolded, it's not a perfect example here, but it made it more difficult when you had someone that decided they weren't going to look at what was happening. I decided for them, but still, they could not see what was happening, and so it required more effort from people around them to make up for what they could not do. And if I think that we're all guilty of it sometimes. I've been guilty of it for sure, of walking in the doors of a church service, meeting with my community of believers, and thinking that this Sunday, I'm just going to chill. Like, I'm just going to come and sit and focus on myself and my relationship with God, and I'm going to listen to the teaching, really like, process it and understand it and like take it all in, and I'm going to sing some worship, and then I'm going to go home and continue on with my life, and because this is a personal thing, right? Like, I've been there. I'm sure I'm still guilty of it throughout now, like even after knowing this. And so if you've been in church any length of time, I'm sure you've had that experience where you're just like, you wanted to just receive and to check out and just kind of like fill up again. And I get it. I do. I really get it. But I think that, as I said before, that is a missed opportunity. And it's if you are coming in not ready to present yourself as a living sacrifice, not ready to hear what the Spirit has for you, and not willing to respond to the prompting of the Spirit, it affects the work that's being done in that room and with that community of believers. In Romans 12, 10-18, so a little bit later in the verse, Paul describes what it can look like and what it should look like when a community of believers is deciding to present themselves a living sacrifice and when they are allowing the Spirit to guide them and when they're responding to that Spirit and acting accordingly. And it's just so sweet. It's so good. And he's giving these as commands because he's saying, like, the Spirit is going to allow you to do this. He's going to give you the ability to do all of these things, which is amazing. So in verse 10, it says, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Don't be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And I just love this image that he gives us of what a community of believers could be doing for one another if they are responding to the prompting that they receive from the Holy Spirit. If they're living a life that's available, that's being presented as a living sacrifice, that's available to the work that the Spirit has in store for them, I love this impact that it has on the people around them. Like, if you are loving the people in your community, if you are rejoicing with them when they're rejoicing and weeping with them when they're weeping, and if you are living in harmony, and it just goes on and on. The list is incredible of this image of what this community of believers could do. It says in one of the verses, let me see which one, verse 11, says, do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit. Another translation says, allow yourself to be set on fire by the Holy Spirit. Allow the Spirit to move you. Allow the Spirit to direct your words and actions towards one another. And this, if you are choosing to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, if you're choosing to be aware of the presence of the Lord and to follow his promptings, this, I believe, is what's going to lead you to a more full serving of the Lord, and a more like full and true worship of the Lord. And I believe that as you are living in line with what the Spirit is guiding you to do, that's going to allow the rest of the body to function more fully and receive more fully what the Lord has for us as well. Because we're all connected. We all are a part of this body that's unified and all working to honor and glorify God. And so when each member is deciding to show up and to participate and to hear what the Spirit is saying and then to act on what the Spirit is saying, what the Spirit is encouraging you to do, that is going to positively affect the entire body. And I think that the opposite of that is not necessarily neutral. I don't think that you get to just decide that if you're part of the body, if you just decide that you're unwilling to go past a certain point, or if you were unwilling, like, yes, I hear that, but somebody else could do that. If you're unwilling to do a certain thing that you're being prompted to do, it's going to impact the work that's done with the body. So I think that to experience all that God has in store for church, for Encounter Church, for our community, for this community of believers, to receive all that he wants to give us when we're encountering his presence, when we're like mindful of his presence, the body, us, members of the body, needs to be showing up ready to present themselves as a living sacrifice, ready to act according to the working of the Spirit and to the direction that he's giving it. And I don't think that I individually can receive the fullness of what God has to offer me and what the depth that God wants to take me without you. And I don't think that you can receive the fullness of what God has to offer you and the depth that he wants to take you as well without me and without the person sitting next to you and without the other members of this body. To experience the fullness that God has offered, I need something from you and you need something from me. I need what the Spirit is giving you. I need the working that the Spirit's doing in you to fully carry out the work that God has. This goes back to the point that people need an encounter with God more than anything else, right? I am going to experience the fullness of my encounter with God when the members of my body are also willing to respond to what God is telling them and what God is prompting them to do. No one can do this for you, right? It's important that we're meeting here together because the Spirit is working through you to impact me and working through me to impact you. And we need each other. Paul says in his verse that we are members one of another. So one unified body doing our part to live a life that's honoring and glorifying to Jesus. Every part matters. Every member impacts the body in some way. And your job is to decide, are you going to prepare yourselves? Are you going to present yourself as a living sacrifice? Are you going to be physically available to act on what the Spirit is asking you to do? And here at Encounter Church, we believe that you have full authority, right? It's not my job to make this happen because I'm standing up here with a microphone, or Greg's job to make this happen because he's the lead pastor, he's leading our church. You have full authority, and no one can do this for you. No one can choose to present your body as a living sacrifice. That would be terrible. And no one's going to decide that you are available for the Spirit's work. No one's going to force you to do anything the Spirit's asking you to do. It's on you. But how sweet would it be if we were a church full of members of this body, full of members of this community of believers, that were acting according to what the Spirit is prompting them to do, right? How incredible would it be if we can experience like a richness of the presence of the Lord even more fully and deeper because the people around us are choosing to act on the guidance of the Spirit, right? We would experience something that we could never experience just on our own. We could experience God's presence in a way that we would never, I believe that we wouldn't necessarily be able to do by ourselves because we're meant to live in this community together. So tonight, I want to give you a chance to take some time to prepare yourself, to have some space and some time to whatever you need to do to like be prepared. Because I think that God has so much in store for Encounter Church. I think, and I truly believe that he has work for us to do. And I would love to be a part of a church where every single member is available and willing to do the work that the Spirit is giving them so that us as a body, a full community of believers, can fully live out the work that the Spirit has for us. So I want to give you some time to prepare yourself. Maybe you already are, and that's great. Like, there's nothing wrong with that, obviously. So maybe you are and you don't need time. You're saying, yep, I'm available. I hear what the Spirit's telling me to do. I'm ready to respond. That's great. If you're not, maybe just meet with God and ask him what's in my way. Like, what is the block? What is the barrier there that I have to tackle to get to that point? But I just want to leave space in the service for you to actually like work through that and hopefully get to a point where you are ready to present yourselves as a living sacrifice, where you are ready to hear what the Spirit is guiding you and directing you to do, and you're actually willing to then physically act on it, to do the things that he's asking you to do. That could be so many things. I mean, there's no limit to what the Spirit could be asking you to do, but in a church service like this, maybe that means not holding back during worship. In just a little bit, we're going to worship together. And maybe you have been like, I'm not going to raise my hands in worship. That's not a thing that I'm going to do. Maybe the Spirit's saying like, no, that is your next step. That is what you need to do next. Maybe. Maybe the Spirit is prompting you to pray for somebody. And this would look like you physically, I mean, you hear the Spirit's prompting, and you physically like moving out of your pew and going to another person and praying over them as possible. I can't tell you what the Spirit's going to ask you to do, obviously, but I just think that it would be incredible to be in a room full of people that are responding to the Spirit, that are hearing and listening to what they're guiding you to do, and then acting on it and actually doing it. So that's my hope, and that's my encouragement to you. So in just a few seconds here, I'm going to sit down, and we're just going to have some space for you to meet with God and to see if you actually are ready to physically present yourself as a living sacrifice. The band's going to come up, and they're going to start playing. We're going to end our night with worship. And I just want to give you the freedom, like, you take as long as you want. No one's going to say, like, okay, now we're standing up and singing. No one's going to invite you to stand so we can sing together. That's not going to happen. You have full authority. You decide, okay, I'm ready. And then you can join us whenever you are. If you feel ready, if you're ready to go, that's great. You can join the band right away in their worship. But if you need to take some time to decide and to work through how to be fully prepared to present yourself as a living sacrifice, then that's what this space is for.
Thank you for listening. We hope you'll join us one day as we strive to engage the disciple of Christ with multiple learning styles, hands-on creatives, and in-person serving in our community. Check us out at www.encounterchurchberks.com. Sign up for our weekly email. Follow us on social. Have a great rest of your week.